This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
AlternativeRadio.org. Again, our website where we are podcasting, AlternativeRadio.org.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, July 23rd, 2013, and you are listening to KBOO, your community radio, at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Well, first up, the first of the Camp Cascadia resistance members goes on trial today. KBOO will be down at the courthouse. And Obama stuns us once again by dangling Lawrence Summers before the big banks. Doesn't the president know you shouldn't tease large, vicious animals? And with the threat of U.S. involvement in Syria perhaps just weeks away, Secretary of State John Kerry is sitting silently with Palestinian and Israeli negotiators generating immense volume of media frenzy. We'll see what comes of that. The U.S. has demonstrably proved to be a dishonest broker when it comes to negotiating peace, and as far as bringing democracy to anyone in the Middle East, it still hasn't occurred to the powers that be that, know what, you can't bring democracy to other nations. They evolve it themselves. Furthermore, all you have to do is take a look at the Trayvon Martin decision, and it's pretty clear that we don't have a democracy at all. Money actually is driving the game. First, this from the National Weather Service. Today starts out a bit overcast, gradually clearing. And eventually, we're destined to wind up with a high around 84, light variable wind. Tonight, mostly clear, lows around 58, bit of a breeze. Tomorrow, again, starts out that same gray morning, and gradually that burns off, and we wind up with a high around 84. Tomorrow night, clear, lows around 57. And the alternative forecast, it's a full root moon in Capricorn. The cyanotic forecast, now is a good time for root vegetables. Pretty much anything as far as the cyanotic, the growers see it. Root vegetables, berries, bulbs, onions, biennials, and perennials. That about covers it. The biodynamic advice with the moon in Capricorn. It's an earth sign, so go for those root vegetables, plants. Fruit harvested right now should be eaten straight away, they say. And the sidereal moon in Capricorn, potatoes and tubers planted now will have strong growth. The biodynamic outlook, it's an earth moon in Capricorn, that also they agree with the rest on planting root vegetables and harvesting foods should be, harvested food should be eaten right now, should not be eaten right now. That's it for the alternative as well as the conventional forecast. And now we move straight into a few of the highlights from around Cascadia. As many people know, we fought a hard fight to protect our reservoirs, and we thought that that we had actually accomplished something, and that however tenuous the victory, that the reservoirs were for now somewhat out of the clutches of the EPA and the federal government. Now, of course, it looks like that's not the case, and the drive is back on to cover Portland's reservoirs. This has proved colossally unpalatable to Portlanders, as well it should. A few members of the resistance were taken up the debate and put feet on the ground in the form of occupying Mount Tabor, Camp Cascadia, drew police force out in great numbers, and of course there were the predictable arrests. And now one of those people goes on trial today. We're not down there this morning because we're here doing this, though KBOO will be reporting on that later with the KBOO evening news. It is extraordinary that we are seeing private citizens who have the courage to take a stand being arrested and dragged into court for something like this, something that we all, in the end, want. We do want to keep our reservoirs pristine and uncovered. We don't need the expense, and we don't need the attendant danger of water, which is covered, providing a perfect breeding ground for all sorts of bacteria. So once again, it is just a very few people who have taken up the challenge and gone up there and occupied Mount Tabor and said no to covering the reservoirs. And we do owe those people a debt of gratitude, because when you look at the verdict in the Zimmerman case and you look at what the Wall Street banks are getting away with, and we are going to do that a little later in the program, it's evident that our justice system has come way off the rails. And on that note of rails, we take a look a bit to the north at Vancouver and the threat of running trains full of oil through Vancouver to ports on the west coast. And the companies who are involved in this game, of course, target areas where the call of jobs is heard the loudest and the clearest above common sense and environmental responsibility. Vancouver, of course, does indeed need jobs, but just not this kind of job. We have a great many other curiosities coming to us from the National Security Agency, and indeed from our those who would like to protect us. We need to get on to those. But before we leave Vancouver, a final note: it's a huge project, and the potential daily volume is nearly half the capacity of the Keystone XL pipeline. It would require up to 4 miles of oil trains a day to receive it. The company Tesoro has been trying this for quite a while. They're not going to back down, and it will take people, again, who have the courage to stand up and oppose this venture. Because it's in play right now, there's little that we can say other than the fact that environmental groups and other opponents of shipping oil through the Northwest say the port of Vancouver should wait until the investigation of our most recent disaster in Quebec before it charges forward. The trains would run through the Columbia River Gorge and wind up very close to downtown Vancouver. And we thought that the Columbia River Gorge was protected. Think again. The Bonneville Power Administration employees have been encouraged that they're free to blow the whistle. The acting chief of Bonneville Power Administration told 3,000 of their workers at the Federal Power Marketing Agency on Friday that they should feel free to speak out and voice any concerns or lodge complaints with any authoritative body that they see fit. The Obama administration right now is flailing about, trying to make its policy look like one of acceptance of these points of view. It's very hard to trust the Obama administration when it tells public sector employees and government employees that they're perfectly safe to blow the whistle when they see that something is amiss. Anyone who believes that should tread very cautiously. They, on the other hand, might have the opportunity to sit down and talk with John Kiriakou at great length, because he's behind bars for doing just that. We're going to speak now. We're very, very fortunate to have William Greiner with us this morning to talk about a strange move on the part of the Obama administration in his second term. President Obama, we usually think of second-term presidents who are able to make moves and take actions that they would not be able to previously. With the Federal Reserve, we all know Ben Bernanke is going to be stepping down. And many people who watch these sort of things, the economy and the Federal Reserve and the banking industry, would expect Janet Yellen to be the successor. Yet here we have Obama, as we said before, is dangling Lawrence Summers, is currently ensconced at Harvard in front of the big banks. And as we've cautioned before, you shouldn't tease large, vicious animals, because they will take your hand off. Good morning, William. Thanks so much for being with
us. Thank you. I like your warning.
Oh, indeed. But he's got nothing to lose. He could appoint Edward Snowden if he wanted to tempt Snowden back to American soil. Why Lawrence Summers? The banks are getting everything they want. Wall Street's going crazy right now. The Dow's at 1,500.
I never use this phrase, but I find it very relevant to what we're talking about. The old boys network actually does exist, and it's
no kidding, really
trivial. And sometimes it's reaching for what normal people would say is an impossible goal, but they don't see that, and so they strive for it in any case, and they often win at that. And it, in some ways, this is an example of how, despite the record, despite the facts, despite the bloody history of people like Larry Summers and what they did to the country, really, not just the government in power, they don't see that as relevant to the situation. There's a subtext beneath what's going on that again sounds slightly conspiratorial, but I think it's quite ordinary. People who get power in the political system, either through networks of interests or just longevity or whatever, try to hold on to it, even when the facts are against them. And I think that's what we're seeing in this latest talk about, well, maybe Obama will appoint Larry Summers to be the next Fed chairman. And I've tried that out on everybody, starting with my wife. And they get this sort of groan. Oh, no, don't, And they'd say, let's change the subject. I refuse to take that seriously. Yeah. And so I understand how shocking it is. And part of the reason I wrote that piece, and wrote it in a rather, I would say, nasty tone toward Brother Summers, is that take this for real. Even though it seems ridiculous, take it for real. And respond to it politically right now. Don't wait, because the Clinton people have. There's a deeper layer of this. The transformation of the Democratic Party has stretched over many years, but it really started in the 1980s when Robert Rubin, then of Goldman Sachs, then later Citigroup, became a friendly advisor to the Democratic Party. And he told them, you can make peace with the money people and Wall Street, and you can be blah, blah, blah. And that was the birth of the so-called New Democrats, and their first leader, and still a leader in some ways, was Bill Clinton. He gets elected president, and they washed out virtually everyone from the old line, labor-friendly, liberal Democratic Party, which they regarded as an utter failure, and replaced it with what we all know. They've had a 20-year run, and it's been, you have to say, they've been quite successful at changing the nature of the Democratic Party. That's a big part of what they don't want to give up. And I think it's probably deeper than personal ambition and and greed or any of the other factors which are in play. And so that's why I think this is such an important moment.
And, but as time runs out, Obama's already given the banking industry everything and more. What possible advantage, as far as his legacy or anything else for that matter, does this accomplish?
Well,
potentially accomplish?
What everything you've just said is correct, but that fight is not over. I know it doesn't. It seems over because of all of the things that have happened. But I wrote an earlier piece just this month about a new season for reform, and I'm a little given to wishful thinking ahead of the facts, but I do believe that we have another shot at some of these big issues. They're not resolved finally.
Yes.
And secondly, there are people like Sherrod Brown, Senator from Ohio, Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, and some others who, your Senator Merkley, that are really of what I think of as the reform caucus that hasn't yet formed.
Hang on a second. We're out of time. We can talk some more, record it, and put it on the website if you are willing to do that. I want to thank you for that right now, however. William Grider's latest book is Come Home, America, the Rise and Fall of the Country. This has been a Cascadia for Tuesday, July 23rd, 2013. Janet Anderson engineered the show today. Thanks so much, Janet. Kathleen Stevenson, the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. Get the facts. Know your rights. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
Flashpoints. Will Obama nominate banking bandit and chief Lawrence Summers to be the next chair of the Federal Reserve Bank? We'll talk to William Grider, author of the landmark